Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, welcome back to... I'm sick. Fuck, I'm so sick.
The Triforce, the Poodcoon.
You're not sick, Sips, are you? PDXCon gave me the clap, yeah, all the sweaty nerds. They passed on
where did it come
germs
from?
To me. It had to come from PDXCon. It had to.
Oh.
Nerds. Mm. Always the nerds.
It's always those nerds. Every time.
Yeah. Just as a heads up, you know, don't get mad if there isn't a Triforce podcast for a while, guys. Because, you know, this is like, we're not going to give you any warning if there's not going to be one. So don't get off my ass and be about it. That's the one. I'm not.
It sounds like maybe people have been on your ass. Do you care to elaborate?
People are on my ass about it sometimes. I don't really mind. It's good to have. I don't actually mind when people say these things. I'm actually quite cool with it because it means we've got this passionate, like, lovely fan base. You know, where people only complain when they care, right?
I know, so, but it's a passionate, lovely fan page, but there's literally like 10 people, so I don't know.
It's true. Do you know what I like? I like the idea that I didn't think you were in a good mood this morning, and I stand by that. And you start off the podcast by saying, "Now listen here, you audience, all right?
I think if there isn't a podcast,
you can go fuck yourself." I imagine you were on your way into the office this morning, and a white van went past, and he drove down the window and went, "Oi, knobhead, where's your fucking Triforce podcast?" And drove up.
See, my laugh is a bit like smokery, like my lungs are a little bit like full of fluid. I think I think I have what you have, Sips, but I'm suffering different like symptoms to you,
man. Maybe it's pneumonia.
Wet lung.
I had that when I was younger. I had pneumonia, and I can tell you it's no walk in the park. It's more like a walk through hell. Like it was bad. I almost died. My mom was really worried. My mom, I don't think, actually gives a shit about me, but at that point in my life she did a little bit. Think that
Why?
I was going to die.
And do you think
worried.
She thought she would be responsible if you did die?
Maybe. Maybe she just like, how's this going to make me feel, you know, if my son dies?
Right.
So,
I've just been away for a week, and my mum's been here covering for me. Because I was basically, out of the last 7 days, I've been here, well, today and Monday. And obviously we were collectively at PDXCon, and then I went to play poker and... It's funny because my mum being here is like, it's very helpful. Obviously, she looks after the kids and the kids love her and everything. But it's never easy living with an old mum, let alone not your own old mum. It's like someone else's mum. So like if Mrs. F's mum came to stay, that would be a living hell for me, like a nightmare on earth.
Right.
When my mum comes to stay, it's bad enough. But someone else's mum? Forget about it. My mom drives me up the fucking wall.
Yeah, if it was my mom, I'd be a bit like, bleh. But my wife's mom is great. I get along really well with
her. Yeah, we were talking about it.
She could come down. Like, she's here right now. Like, my wife had to go to the dentist. She's just inside with, like, my daughter looking after her and stuff. And she's great. Like, it's really
That's
nice.
That's good. That's
she makes
really
me
good.
Tea all the time. Like, all the time. Every time I walk in the house, she's like, tea? I'm like, yes, please. It's great. It's really good. No, she's really nice. Really good. And her dad is nice too, actually. I get along really well with him too.
The problem I have with my mum is she's so inflexible in her routines and the things that she does that it's almost to the point of mania.
Mm.
Like, if it's not exactly... Like, if she turns up and there isn't semi-skimmed milk to go in her tea or coffee, I can't remember which one is which.
Right.
She has full cream in one of those and semi-skimmed in the other. If she doesn't...
Whoa!
It's like an arm...
Full cream!
Right. But it's like an arm flapping... Oh, what am I meant to do now? Is it the fucking...
Oh,
is it
man.
The end times? Why don't you have semi-skim?
I'm probably going to die.
Edward, I always taught you.
It's just ridiculous.
I always said, Edward, semi-skimmed in the door makes me a whore.
no, but I, old people get really set in their ways, though. That's the thing. Like, I'm starting to become set in my ways as well.
It's the way they've made
it
this far, though. They've made it that far by being set in their ways, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have made it
otherwise. The ultimate is when you get to the point where literally, like, every day of the week, you do something very specific. Like, on a Tuesday, I put my overcoat on and I walk down to the co-op and I buy the exact same fucking thing every week. And when the prices rise, I get stressed out because I'm not used to change and stuff. And it's like on a Wednesday, I go to my aerobics class. And on Thursday, I like to go. You know what I mean? Like, I hope my life never becomes like that. I want to be fun to loose and fancy free until one day I just keel over and die.
It's good.
Actually, preferably somebody shoots me in the back of the head with a shotgun and it's all over. Wow. Like, yeah. I don't want no slow, painful death. I want to go out in a blaze of glory, like Django Unchained.
Fuck yeah.
That's how I'm going out.
But the slightest change in like the most minor of demands or requirements, and it's like it's a full-on meltdown.
Yeah.
For instance, she wants to go into Kingston, which isn't far from here. It's good for shopping and things. So she's decided she's going to go into Kingston, and she says, I'll take one of the girls into school. You have to do the other one.
What?
Right.
Even though it's literally a five-minute walk to drop, like, both. You could drop one kid at one school and then drop the other one. It's like, it's literally a five-minute difference. But it's like, well, no, because I want to get into Kingston as fast as I can. And I'm like, can you not just fucking do it? Because otherwise I've got to get dressed. I could be recording and shit. So now I've got to, you know, get up and get out before I would have done otherwise. Can't stay up late the night before streaming and recording and stuff like that, because now I've got this to do. And I'm just like, you know, she's like, well, I want to go in. I was like, geez, what is the point in discussing anything with old people? Because they just decided, this is the way we're doing it. This is the fucking problem with politics. They do all the fucking voting. I fucking hate old people. Fuck them all. I hope we should chuck them in a fucking volcano. Well, I mean it.
Yeah, well, jeez. I mean, I think the rest of the country feels the same way, the way that elderly people are treated in Britain, Flax. So you're not alone there. Like, man, people really fucking hate old people.
God, like, I reckon you should stand on that, like, campaign slogan, you know.
Fuck them in a volcano. Not chuck them in. Fuck them in. Even more casual.
We were talking about this last night. I was talking to my wife about it, and we were saying that, like, you know, like a lot of the dumb shit that happens in, like, you know, like, you know, like social services and all this dumb shit that happens. And we were just saying, I think that part of the problem is that, you know, the governments that get into power, it is just a bunch of old people voting. Like, I don't think young people vote at all. And even when they do vote, they don't know what they're voting for. Like, I don't think they get it, right? So it's all these like 70-year-old men voting, I feel. And they vote for the dumbest shit all the time.
And women.
You know
what the problem is? If you want to win an election, all you have to do is talk about the good old days and promise that you will either freeze or raise pensions, you'll win in a landslide.
Yeah.
That's it. If you talk about helping anybody that isn't fucking old and volcano worthy, then you're not going to win. Get a fucking volcano. I don't even like Jeremy Corbyn, right? But I reckon if he ran on a campaign where he's old himself, if he said, we're going to dig up a volcano, we're going to figure it out, we'll get a volcano somewhere in the Midlands where nobody cares about it. And his campaign is, we're going to fuck them all in the volcano and I'm going in first if we win. I promise I'd fucking vote for him.
Mm. I just want somebody who I can vote for who isn't like a gray old fucking grandma. Like I saw the Tory manifesto on TV last night, and Theresa May, holy shit. She opens her mouth and literally instantly I'm in a coma. Like, I do not care about a word that woman has to say.
She's like a vampire.
She's old. She's like totally out of touch as far as I'm concerned. Like, I don't fucking care. She wasn't even fucking elected in the first place.
Yeah, it's true.
And like, and she's just parading around saying, work with me to make Britain great and all this stuff. Fuck off, okay? Like,
do you know what the weird thing is?
Nobody gives a shit.
Exactly. And imagine if there was a big company that was launching and their flagship person at the front to launch this big new company that was going to appeal to the people and it was going to be fantastic, was like the oldest, crustiest, least cool person you could imagine. That's Theresa May. You shove her in the front. This is our flagship right here. This is our leader. No wonder people don't fucking like politics. You know who they should get on? Someone cool. Someone from The Only Way Is Essex. Get him in
there.
Hell yeah. The guy would get the kids voting. Oh, yeah. My name's Joey or whatever from the Essex thing, right? Vote for me.
Oh, back in a sec.
He's off to do that, is he?
Yeah.
It's Theresa May at the door. I can hear you talking ill of me.
So Sip's had his boiler. I hope it's okay.
That's fine. Jeez.
You know, I'm concerned.
The guy's saying, the flange nut, you got the 212 on there. You need the 214. Whoever installed it had no idea what they were doing. But don't worry. I got the part in a van. I'll just pop out and get it. And we'll have it running tickety-boo in 5 minutes. But it will cost you $50,000. Hope that's all right.
That's basically
that conversation.
Every conversation with a boiler man ever.
Well, and by the way, where's the fucking Triforce podcast?
Yeah, on the topic of boring shit, my boiler has been serviced. It looks like he had to... there are some black speckles coming out, so he's had to install some more fire cement, whatever the fuck that is. Sounds really cool, but like it's probably not.
I thought they would just add a white speckle emitter in there to sort of cancel the two out. So you'd have the black speckles would be countered by the white speckles.
I mean, if he said
that was the solution,
I didn't have any high tech solution for getting rid of them, so I just got a bit of white paint and painted over them. Yeah, you won't notice them. I don't worry about it too much.
Have you ever watched them do the boiler servicing?
No, well, I tried to.
I watched this guy do it.
This guy, he's really good. These guys are really good, but this guy is typically a boiler repairman. Ass crack out everything. Like I walked in earlier just to like right before we started. Remember, I was like, I'll be 2 seconds. I just have to go in, check to make sure the boiler man's getting on okay. I open the door and my entire vision is filled with this guy's ass crack straight away. Oh. I was like, he's fine. I just came back out. It's crazy because you know that when they're bent down in there looking at the boiler and their ass crack is sticking out, things are probably going fine.
Yeah. You can't ask for more than that, really. Yeah.
You know what's weird is I had a guy out. This was about 15 years ago when we first moved in here, and we had a guy out to look at the boiler. It's a similar thing. I think the boilers are always awkwardly located, so butt crack is going to be on show, right? But this guy, he was quite a chubby guy, and he had a big old butt crack, and he's had his trousers were rose down, so he's down there dealing with the boiler.
Yeah.
And if someone's ass crack is showing, even if you really don't want to look at it, you're going to look at it. Your eyes are going to be compelled to look at it just the same way as you'd look at an animal that's been run over or something.
It's true, because you don't see ass cracks that often. So when you do see one, your mind is drawn to it. This isn't something I'm used to seeing. I'm going to look a little bit more.
And then you're repulsed. But this guy's butt crack, like I would expect this guy to have a big old hairy spotty butt crack, but his ass was almost alabaster white, like this perfect smooth baby's ass with this immaculate butt crack. And I was just staring at it thinking, what the fuck is up with this guy's butt crack? It looks like a fake.
Yeah.
And they've said to him at the boiler repair school, your butt crack isn't up to it. Your grades are great. Everything else is fantastic. Your demeanor is perfect.
Yeah, you don't have enough hair on your ass crack.
But
or
this
pimples,
butt crack,
actually.
You're going to need a fake one. We're going to have, it's all right, we can supply one. But just really let your trousers ride down, let the fake crack do the work. That's the only explanation I think for it.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, I've noticed this recently. There's this thing where there's commercials and stuff where you see like workmen, traditional workmen, you know, kind of overweight, you know, and they're wearing like jeans like that are ill-fitting and those like high visibility vests and stuff.
Yeah, yellow hard.
But then they put them in like hot pants and high heels. Have you seen like these commercials?
I hate those ads.
There's a couple of them, right?
Yeah.
And now I feel like my mind is warped because like sometimes when I see this guy who's fixing my boiler's ass crack, I think like, what if he just had like a G-string on? Like you could see his whole ass crack. He's just wearing like a neon pink G-string. And like, I don't even know if I would bat an eyelid at this point because I've seen all these workmen wearing stilettos and fucking hot pants. And
it is 2017.
That fat chick comes out and she dances a bit as well and stuff. And it's like,
you know,
for fuck's
I didn't
sake.
Believe you, but when you mentioned the year, your argument became much more convincing. Well
yes.
done.
Yeah.
That was a comment I saw on Reddit. It made me laugh, so I thought I'd try and claim it as my own.
Oh, well done. I mean, that's good. I do that a
Can
lot.
Can I tell you guys about my trip to quote-unquote Prague?
Sure. Why did you say quote-unquote? Was it not Prague?
I'll tell you why. I got an email saying, would you like to come and play poker in Prague? And I was like, fuck yeah, Prague sounds like a lot of fun. You know, it was just after PDX, kind of had one day off. My flight was at 7:30 a.m., so I had a similar kind of problem to you guys did. When you guys flew to Stockholm, it was very early. Yeah. So I was like pissed off because the flight was early. We get to the airport, and I think, well, at least Prague is close, and I can go and look around it. And the guy's like, we'll drive now to Rozvodov. And I said, what do you mean, Rozvodov? Is that like in Prague? He goes, ha, 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 no. I said, how long is the drive? He said, 2 hours.
What?
I was like, what? And this is 2 hours the way the Czech guys drive, which is light speed, right? So it could have been 1,000 miles for all I know. We were traveling forever. So we get to Rozvodov, and it's literally a casino and brothels. That's what the town of Rozvodov is. So
nice.
A casino was built in the middle of nowhere, and an industry has sprung up around it. And of course, the industry that supports a casino is the brothel industry, the money lending industry, the cash quick trade in your valuable items here industry, yeah. and a couple of other shitty hotels. I mean, across the road from the casino is a place called Chiquita Massage. So that's obviously, you know, a neon sign that flashes open 24 hours. It's a brothel. They are legal in the Czech Republic.
Is that where you guys went after your poker playing? You were just like, well, let's go unwind.
A lot of the other guys were like, do you want to go get a Thai massage, Piran? And I was like, fuck no, I don't like the idea of a Thai massage, and it's probably a brothel. Oh no, this one's really good. Like, these guys were going out like twice a day to get massages.
Nice.
I don't get it. But I don't want a fucking massage. Some stranger grabbing all over me, and they're like, oh, sometimes it's so good you fall asleep. So yeah. You're telling me I have to pay the money to be touched by a stranger in a non-sexual way and then to fucking fall asleep. I could do that in my hotel room.
You wake up and you're just like, well, where am I? What's going on? You look down and there's a boiler repairman like sucking your dick.
Fucking Rosvodov. I'm just looking on Google Maps. It's like on the German border. Yes. So I guess that's the whole point of it, right?
Exactly.
It's closer to Nuremberg than it is to Prague.
So they tried to entice Germans over to their Thai massage parlors and casinos.
Oh, yeah. Completely. That's clearly why it's been built right on the fucking border.
That's pretty clever,
actually.
There are
a lot of Germans there. So
that's industrial.
I mean, the staff all speak German because most of the people who come in there are Germans. So the border is literally 10 minutes drive, not even that, and you're in Deutschland.
It's not. It's like a minute's drive. It's just down the road.
Yeah,
the border
is literally down the road.
On the road.
So why didn't you fly into Nuremberg then?
You tell me, buddy. Right? Yeah. You tell me. We're there at the casino, and the casinos are fucking horrible places. All right. Maybe in Vegas it's different, but it's by nature of whichever evil overlord designed the first casino, the whole purpose is no windows, no signal of what time of day it is,
lots
depressing
of oxygen.
Lighting.
Yeah.
It's just get it going and sort of the most bland that you can imagine.
Is it like people allowed to smoke in there still?
Exactly. It's very smoky.
Oh, yeah. God. Was it filled with like toothless old women with credit cards on a strap around their neck and stuff for the slots?
Exactly.
Fuck.
So like you're in the restaurant area and there were people saying, oh, the restaurant's great. It's really good. Amazing food. And the people that always say that to me, I'm always very suspicious of esports people and gamers in general telling me this food is amazing, because I kind of think they have no fucking idea what
100%.
Good food is.
Yeah, they like Doritos and nachos.
Right.
Red Bull by the gallon.
I mean, that sounds like a stereotype, but I mean, I've been to enough events where people have said to me, you have to go to this restaurant, the food is amazing. And you go, okay, and you eat it, and you think, this is garbage. Like, this is garbage food. This is not, you know, amazing cuisine. This is just default food. This is like if the fucking replicator on the Enterprise was a bit off that day and Data had been fucking around with it trying to improve its efficiency, Captain Picard says, I will have the Wiener Schnitzel, please. And it just pops out the most default Wiener Schnitzel. And Data would be like,
A4 paper
Captain,
of food.
This is the best Wiener Schnitzel. It's so good. It's so
you
good.
Have
You'd
to
be
try
like,
it.
No. Your fucking emotion chip is all out of whack. It's the basic bitch schnitzel. Don't give me that shit. So that was one. And the thing is, the restaurant is surrounded by the fruit machines, right?
Yeah.
And they're going night and day. The graphics are like NES 8-bit style. The sound is deafening.
It's probably better fucking fruit out of the fruit machines than
exactly.
in the fucking restaurant.
Nice.
Jesus.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that
and
too.
And it was just like, it was just weird. And the atmosphere was weird. So we were there for like 3 days. There was nowhere else to go. So I'm in this casino. The guys that I was working with out there, like the guys that invited me and all the staff and were very friendly. They were very nice. The dealers were very friendly. But they'd invited a bunch of other esports people.
Yeah, because wasn't Forsen there? And like,
yeah, Forsen was there. And
Hodded,
and, you know,
98, was he there as well?
Yeah, yeah. All those guys were there.
Okay.
I mean, a bunch of them knew each other. I knew a couple of them vaguely, but I didn't like know them. But it was fun. You know, we hung out. We were playing poker and stuff. But then we met the big boss, okay?
Right.
And the big boss, Leo, is the owner of the casino. He's trying to get esports and gambling together really, really in a big way, right?
Right, yeah.
So he wants to get esports people to come to the casino. And the objective, as far as I could understand, is they have a big Twitch presence, and that will encourage people to go to Rosvodov and gamble, and it's like a whole new market that they're trying to get to. That's the best I could put together from his explanation. And he says to us, okay, listen, I want to make this the premier streaming location. So when you come here, you stream at, we will have streaming table, and you will sit, and it will be streamed like something out of science fiction, like you would never believe. So you tell me What would be best streaming thing you could have? It would be unbelievable. People never see anything like it. Totally memorable, one of a kind, only in Rozvodov, King's Room Casino. You tell me, what do you want? And everybody was sort of silent for like a minute, looking at each other like, what does he mean, streaming table? And I said, do you mean like a poker table that we can come and play at and it's streamed? He goes, no, 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 streaming table. Like you sit and you stream and you do your games and stuff and streaming. What do you want? We have 7-foot LED screen. We have discos. We have, I don't know, people coming out of the ground. We have whatever you want.
Leo.
We have Thai massage.
Could we set all this up in the brothel, please, so that I can jam bitches all night long while we stream?
You want dinosaurs? You want dinosaurs to come out of ground and eat bad guys? We do this. You want real Mario there? We do this. And I wanted to say to him, have you ever watched a stream? And afterwards, we were talking about it. And
you want that garage? We do this.
We do that garage. We do garage.
You want
no
interruptions
problem.
From cleaner? You want your mother to come around and look after children while you stream? We
you
do
want,
this.
You want me to fix boiler? I fix boiler. No problem.
Let me bend
you
over.
You want my old mama to make you cups of tea? No problem. She make best cup of tea. A1.
Also, where is Triforce Podcast?
Last week, none.
I have missed it in last white week and it's
where is
not
Triforce
enough.
Podcast? Podcast. It's really weird. But his whole idea was that he would have this streaming table, which, I mean, because he's a casino owner, so everything is table-based, right? He doesn't understand that it's not a table. He's like, we will put streaming table. Because he's like, yes, right. Blackjack table, we have poker table, we have roulette table, we have streaming table. You stream at streaming table.
We have dinner table, we have sleeping table,
massage
we have
table.
Sexy
it's
table.
All table-based. This place, only table.
Everything
tables.
In King's Casino, table-based.
Table-based casino.
Today.
Premier table-based casino in Rosvado.
Servicing all of Germany. Only 2 hours drive for Prague.
It sounds like this guy's making power moves into our world, though, Flax. And if he hears
well, he's
this,
trying to,
he'll probably try to snuff you out at some
point. He probably would. I mean, there were a lot of, obviously, like mob guys around, or at least guys that were not people that you would want to bump into by mistake. You know, there's like little rich guys with huge gorillas in suits that were sort of carrying their cash. And there's like high roller games where they're people sitting down with like 20, 30 grand at the table, like minimum to enter the house, like 200 euros a hand minimum.
Out of interest, were there any Asians there? Because every casino I've been to, I find that predominantly the people there are like Chinese. Like, I think Chinese people just
love gambling.
You know, I'm not being racist or anything. I'm just curious if they've heard about Rozvodov and, you know, they've made their way out there sort of thing.
There were definitely a few. A couple of the high rollers were Asian guys.
Right.
But people will travel because the high roller games, especially against like big poker games, it's not every day. It's like it's hard to get a real high roller poker game. So people will travel, you know, and they'll stay at the hotel and everything.
Yeah.
But the objective, as far as I can tell it, is that and also they want to have you can come and stay at the hotel in one of the sort of streamer suites or something.
Right.
And you can stay in there and stream from the hotel room. And the guys were like, this sounds amazing, doesn't it, guys? And I was like, I was just nodding my head and I was thinking, that sounds like hell.
Yeah.
Coming to the middle of nowhere, living in a casino for like a few days, which is I was so depressed in the evenings because it was just awful. All you can see is people coming in with their pay packets and just losing them to this already fabulously wealthy casino owner. And it's just hateful stuff. So I the last thing I want to do is encourage esports people who are young people, generally. A lot of people that follow esports and play, they're all young. You know, they don't have the money to go into a fucking casino.
Flax, you know?
I don't like it, dude. It doesn't sit right with me.
These guys are living by the seat of their pants, you know? They're just looking for the next big thrill all the time. And maybe the next big thrill is streaming from a casino hotel and then gambling all night.
I don't have such a big problem with, like, the physical nature of actually taking money out, going to a casino and actually putting on the table, being aware of how much you're losing. I have a bigger problem with, like, the online side of gambling, which can be very illusory
really
of
how
much you can get sucked into. And also, like, some of these, I don't know, some of these other things, some games and things like this can also be similar to gambling. I think that's one of the things that me and Sips were talking about around Blizzard and how like it feels like all of their games are now you roll the dice on these packs and it's like, you know, you have to, you know, it feels bad, doesn't it? But anyway, gambling, don't get into it.
Hey, oh, on the topic of Blizzard, did you see that Destiny 2 is going to be exclusively obtainable on Battle.net? So it's happening. The old Activision Blizzard merge and Blizzard slowly becoming kind of shitty and stuff is all happening now.
I never played
they're moving
Destiny.
They're moving away from Steam, so you can probably expect at some point in the future on Battle.net. All of the Call of Duty games and a bunch of other fucking crappy Activision shit on there too, so it's gonna be great.
Congrats.
Yeah, they did it.
So because Destiny was console only, right? And so
Destiny 2 PC? there's a PC version, I think.
Okay,
and that's why it's gonna be available on Battle.net or Blizzard, the Blizzard launcher or something. I don't know. This happened yesterday. Apparently, I heard about this.
Yeah.
So there's that. And in other news. Because we've just sort of like transitioned into the news segment. Poor old Chris Cornell has passed away.
Yeah.
Oh.
Damn shame.
Man,
damn
another
shame.
Icon Rip. From the 90s, like another teenage hero, dead. 52 years old. Fuck. Pretty young.
And he killed himself, which is like,
apparently,
what is the
yeah.
deal? Yeah, apparently killed himself.
He had a lot of addictions and problems, apparently, but he'd been sober for about like 13 years or something, but I don't know. Maybe.
I think a lot of the time when people
got back
are,
into them.
Yeah, well, either that or I think, it, you know, if you're doing drugs in a destructive
way. Oh my God, he was found dead at the MGM Grand.
Yeah, it is.
A casino.
It is bathroom.
He died in a casino, P-Flex.
I told
and you were just
you
saying that you
places.
Were fucking depressed in your evenings, in your hotel rooms. He was depressed too.
Yeah.
Wait, what day,
probably
what
at the
day
same
did he
day.
Kill himself? What day
it
did
was,
he kill
it
himself?
It happened yesterday. It happened
he
yesterday.
He killed himself yesterday, like, evening.
Yeah.
No, day
Maybe
before
Maybe that's
yesterday.
Why you felt so depressed. You sensed a disturbance in the force, Chris Cornell.
That might have been it. Because I was,
like
that
suddenly
evening,
Chris
I was
Cornell
so depressed.
Disappeared from this earth. And then, yeah. But no, honestly, though, like, he was touring with Soundgarden, because I guess they did, like, a reunion tour or whatever. And, lots of upbeat tweets from him and stuff, sold out shows, everything.
That's always
it was
a
all
sign.
Going
it's
well,
a bad
but,
sign. He's depressive. Yeah. I mean, if you're taking drugs like that to a destructive degree, that's not just because drugs are bad.
Yeah.
It's because you have underlying issues. Like I was boring you sips with how good Norm MacDonald's book based on a true story is. Right?
I was watching his comedy thing on Netflix. It's very funny. He's very offbeat and funny.
He's a very Norm funny MacDonald. Guy.
Yeah.
But there's a bit in
what
there where
that?
He's talk. Just my phone alarm. There was a guy that he's talking to, and he says, "Hey, do you want to go get a drink?" And the guy says, "I don't drink. Remember, I'm an alcoholic." And he said, "Oh yeah, that's right. I remember now. You're an alcoholic, so you don't drink, and I'm." Not an alcoholic, so I do drink. Like, life's funny like that. And I thought that was quite sort of a clever Norm MacDonald bit of philosophy. You know, some people, they can't drink
right.
because there's some underlying issue, alcoholism or depression or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought Chris Cornell probably was depressed in the first place. I do heroin all the time, and there's no ill effects. So I just don't have a problem, obviously.
Yeah.
Chris did.
Yeah.
Like, pfft.
I think he was doing like crack and everything. Like it was
pretty bad.
Yeah. But so he's dead. Sad times. Chris Cornell. Yeah. He's pretty
now,
good. I mean,
do you think the crack is worse? If a friend of yours told you they were doing heroin, would you be like, oh my God, dude, what are you doing? But if they said they were doing crack, would you react even worse? You'd be like, crack.
Yeah. I mean,
like that, why does that seem worse?
I think heroin's definitely the worst, you know, like the chemical dependency of heroin is debilitating, and I don't think you ever kick it, you know, like they have, you know, people have to take methadone and stuff like that to sort of quell the urges and whatnot. With like cocaine and crack and stuff, it's probably really, really bad, but I think you can, with enough like hard work, sort of kick it and not go back to it. Maybe you'd be tempted to go back to it, but like with heroin, it's like, I think it's a bit different. Like it's, you know, it's like nicotine, but like nicotine's obviously not as bad as heroin.
Huh.
But you know what I mean? Like it's that chemical dependency. You know, like your brain is just like, I need this. I have to have this.
Yeah, there was a really interesting video about that. But I don't think it's heroin that's the one that's actually you get physically dependent on. I don't think, because didn't they do that? I watched this Kurt Gesagt, you know, in a nutshell video about drug dependency on YouTube, which is really good. You should check it out. But basically, it talked about how soldiers coming back from Vietnam who'd been taking a lot of drugs. I think one of them was heroin. Were just able to kick it as soon as they got a supportive community back home. Right. They didn't even notice that it was they weren't taking it anymore kind of thing.
I read a similar thing about how people talk about like alcoholism as a disease or drugs being physically addictive, but that a lot of the science that they've done into that doesn't actually bear out that concept. Like, it's, I think it's nice for us to believe that you just inject it and the drug takes over and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think that's kind of, I think that's actually a worse thing to tell people because it makes them feel like they lack agency. But effectively, you know, if you're doing something habitually, it may be habit forming, but it's obviously a crutch for something else. Like, I don't think it, like a lot of the time people, when they fall off the wagon or get on the wagon, whichever it is, it's a result of something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a result of like a lack of a good social support structure around them, a lack of friends, a lack of people.
You can't cope. Yeah, exactly.
And then if someone told you that they were doing heroin, you'd want to distance yourself from them. And that makes them worse in a sense.
Well, it depends. Have they got any more heroin to share? Because I might want to get closer to them.
This is like, I mean, I told this story on the... Go on, Tips. You finish your...
The thing with heroin
point.
Is that it's not fun, though, I don't think. Like cocaine and drinking, those are like party... Like, cocaine's like a real party drug, right? And, like, drinking...
Right.
You know, you can get a bit, like, shit-faced and stuff and have a nice time. Heroin just knocks you flat on your ass and you just, like, you know, nod off a bit and fucking drool a lot and shit. Like, you're not having a party when you're on heroin. Like, you're
Good
probably...
Shout.
Tripping out like hardcore, but like
I would like to do acid one time. I do think that would be fun. I'm not encouraging
well,
drug
thing.
Use, but
oh my god, it's
I
so
like
weird how
acid.
Like these conversations today link up. But I was talking about this yesterday. We were in Stockholm and went out, had a day wandering around town, and I got stopped by a Jognor in the street
who had some acid. So we dropped acid in an alleyway and blew each other a lot, and it was crazy. Then I jumped off a roof and killed myself.
Did you read? Have you heard this story? Because that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, I mean,
did you take the acid, Lulu?
No, I didn't take any. I was offered a tab of acid. This guy basically was. So we walking past a pub, and there was a guy and a girl, and the girl clocked me, but we carried on walking. And then, a minute later, you know, the boyfriend had run down the street to, like, say, oh, my girlfriend's a big fan. Come and have a drink with us. So I was like, oh, geez, all right, fine. So we went and had a drink with these guys. But this guy was absolutely, like, completely wasted on drugs. And all he repeated was, do you want some drugs? And it's like, what? He moved to offer, like, shake my hand. And I was like, okay. But then he, like, tried to give me a tab of acid.
Right.
And then he was like, do you want... You don't want acid? I've got cocaine, MDMA, and ecstasy. He was literally like full. He had a big bag of drugs, big bag of pills.
Wow!
Right on him, and it was like wow,
nice.
And so that's pretty much all he said. Like he was so wasted.
Did he have any of that WMD? Did he have blue tops? Did he have? Did he have them red tops?
Chili. Chili crack or whatever?
Chili crack.
Oh my god!
Nice, yeah. Yeah, I got the chili willy right here. Red tops.
So no, I was fervently resisting doing any drugs because I thought, oh my god, I've never really done any hard drugs in my life. Actually,
no.
Fortunately, have you ever done any? Have you been tempted? You've been swayed?
Hard drugs?
You ever,
no. Like
you ever done?
I've
chased the Charlie.
Taken tokes from the Lyrical Blunt,
the Magic Dragon
before. But
I've
that's
smoked
about
weed,
it.
But. The one thing I've, when it comes to hard drugs, the real thing that's hard about them is getting a hold of them, I've found. Like, that's the
right.
hard part. I
yeah,
mean,
you
I,
need
I
to
would
know,
have done,
you need to know
I
somebody.
I would have done a few, but yeah, I none of my mates are into drugs. Like, they drink, they don't even, like, a few of them smoke weed occasionally, but not in a big way. I did have a friend at university who was a cocaine dealer, just as a side thing, and he would never share, like, never. Even when we were all out, he was like, no, buy it. I was like, I don't have any money. He was like, well, then go fuck yourself.
Well,
I was
they
like,
have
well, I guess
to sell it, though, because
that's
if
why
they come
successful.
Up short,
yeah.
they're going to get killed. So
exactly.
You know.
But partly maybe he just cared about you and he didn't want you to take it.
No, he
know?
Was just a tight bastard. He would have sold it to me in a heartbeat. But I would have done coke, I think, and I definitely would do LSD, but not from just someone in the street walking up and saying, hey, big fan. Put this in your body, you'll have a great time. Like, no.
Yeah.
I won't eat a cake that someone's baked for me. Like, I'm not going to eat a fucking... I'm going to drop acid. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Who knows what they could have baked into that cake, P-Flex?
Yeah, exactly.
It's made with my hair and my semen.
I saw there was a thing on Twitter where somebody was like, friendly reminder never to eat something that like a fan gives you. And it was
the
like...
needle.
It was like a crumbled up fucking, it looked like a crumbled up cake with a gigantic needle. And there was
how
like,
how big was that needle?
And it looked like the cake was stained by like cherry or something. And one of the replies was like, I hope that those are just like cherry stains on the cake. And then the reply came back. It's like, no, it's not. So like fucking dude bit into it. The needle stabbed his mouth and he was like bleeding all over this. Oh,
horrendous. God.
Who fucking does that though? Like who puts a fucking needle into like a baked good? Christ.
Christ.
Like what goes through your mind when you're doing that though? Like you have to be a fucking raging asshole to do it. Like you can't. How do you live with yourself after that? Like knowing that you've done that. Like it's insane. It's beyond me. I don't get it. I just don't
get it. I've had like at conventions. I think I've eaten a few things that fans have baked for me. I've given a try. There's some of them have been very nice, right. Like some fairy cakes, some little cookies, some little
brownies.
I'm unable
to shit solids anymore, but cakes.
And I had the trip of my life after those brownies. It was never the same.
My gummy works are all fucked up now. They'll never be
my
right again.
My dick fell off.
Yeah. No,
I glued it back on.
I can't believe that there's people out there doing that shit. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's
people
really
are nuts.
God.
Oh, it's just try and get a raise. It's just everything's more extreme than the next, isn't it? You know, it's just about topping the next, the last guy.
Well, how do you top that? Like that there's no topping that. What, you're going to put like a nuclear bomb inside a cake?
No, you bake a cake with a tiny assassin baked into it in a sort of concealed cavity. You cut into the cake, a little tiny assassin jumps out, stabs you in the mouth.
Oh, fuck.
With
me.
A tiny needle. Yeah.
So while I was in Stockholm, right,
is this pre or post acid trip?
This was post acid trip, but maybe it's linked, actually. I went to my bedroom to retire for the evening and put Spotify on. And I noticed there was a Eurovision playlist on there. I was like, oh my God, is it Eurovision? So I turned on Swedish TV and Eurovision was on.
Right.
Yep. And I watched the Eurovision Song Contest in Sway, right, which was quite an experience. Yeah. Because it was all just Swedish gibberish with people singing in European gibberish. But it was so wonderfully gay and flamboyant and like I'd been on an acid trip, honestly. Some of the acts were just... I like Eurovision, okay? I've always watched it. I remember back in the day, like 5 years ago, when me and Simon lived together, we sat down and watched Eurovision. It was one of the funniest nights of my life because Simon was just... It was obviously just one of those moments where Simon was just being Simon and he was just so funny. We just had the best night of our lives. And ever since, I've really kind of had this soft spot for Eurovision. I used to try and watch it with Simon, but I don't know. You know what happens. People drift away from each other. It's a bit sad. But I loved watching Eurovision. I always question like why like some people put forward the acts they do. Like I'm like, you can't possibly think you're going to win Eurovision with this bizarre theatrical performance of like, you know, a woman painted white and doing like writing like, you know, skeleton on a chalkboard. It was just bananas and I loved it.
I think that a lot of countries don't necessarily want to win because it's really expensive to put it on, right? And I think a lot of the time they just want to put on the show to stay in it. And you're always going to find someone in your country who's willing to go forth as a Eurovision competitor. Some countries actually put forward established acts. Like, we would never do that. We would
there
never
was
put...
Epic Sax guy was back.
Like, we're not going to put Ellie Goulding, who's British, forward as
remember
our Eurovision
year
act.
Remember when Britain put forth that... it was like they were like airline stewardesses and stuff that were flying our flag all over the world.
That was an okay
one. Flying our flag. Yeah, that was all right. I mean,
do you remember Dustin the Turkey, the Irish entry? I think it was Dustin. Do you remember him?
I don't think it made it to the final, though.
He was the Irish entry. This was after they'd won back to back Eurovisions.
Well,
right?
Ireland of what?
Yeah. Yeah, they won back-to-back, and they could not afford to put this shit on again. It was going to...
Wait, what are some notable Eurovision winners, apart from ABBA?
It's going to bankrupt the company.
So they literally said, we can't afford to do this again. We've got to put forward an act that cannot possibly win. So they put Dustin the Singing Turk. I think it was Dustin. Someone in the comments will correct me if I'm wrong. But it's unbelievable. Look it up. It's like he was like this weird celebrity turkey puppet that was known in Ireland and was like an awful sort of in-joke. And they just, that was it. That's our fucking entry. Their previous two entries were like sort of nice, beautiful singers. They were like, we can't afford to win this year, lads. We've got to fucking throw it. Get Dustin in. It was brilliant. I love
fuck,
that.
Fuck, it's been going since 1956. What yeah, the dude. Fuck? And France have won it. Like, in the early days, France won it, oh, like, a lot.
Forget
holy
about
shit.
It.
Shit. Yeah. The UK seems to have never won, have won it, I don't think.
Excuse
oh, no,
me.
Oh, sorry, it won in 97.
No. Bucks Fizz.
Katrina
go
and
back
the Waves.
Yeah, Katrina and the Waves. Go back to Bucks
love
Fizz.
Love Shine a Light. Hang on. Bucks Fizz. I'm not sure if Bucks Fizz. Dude. No, Brotherhood of Men in 1976. Save Your Kisses for Me. That was also.
What do you mean Bucks Fizz never won?
Bang Bang. Boom Bang a Bang by Lulu. That was another winner in 1969.
Puppet on a String, Sandy Shaw. Boom yeah. Bang a Bang by Lulu.
Uh-huh.
Save Your Kisses for Me by Brotherhood of Man.
Yeah.
Making Your Mind Up by Bucks Fizz. 1981. You went right past it, 81. Sunshine.
I'm not at 81. There it is. Making Your Mind. Oh, that's a great song, Making Your Mind Up. I can see
they
why
did
that
the, it was the thing where they whipped away the skirt. Like,
yeah. And then ABBA won in 74 with Waterloo, which, you know, that was a pretty good
I mean,
one
Jesus,
too,
how the... it's putting ABBA in seems a little excessive.
Well, I mean...
Does this
they
it?
Were just tryharding.
Held in Brighton. The host city was Brighton. Wow.
Nice. And then in 1991, Sweden won with a song called Fangad av en Stormvind. Maybe it was like a Warcraft themed
thing. Stormvind.
Stormvind. I don't know. But yeah, 97, I guess, is the last time the UK won Eurovision.
I don't care about UK winning. I don't support the UK. That's not why I watch it. I don't watch it for some sort of patriotic fucking, you know, bullshit reason. Like, oh, come on, England. Yeah, do it for old Blighty. I don't give a shit about that, no. You know. Meanwhile, fix your boiler. Where's the Trifold podcast? Oi, oi. I don't even like, I don't, that, you know, I didn't even cross my mind jeez. That I would want to support the English entry because I can't give a shit about it less. But man, it was good. There was this moment where a streaker, because Australia's in it now.
Yeah.
And there was
down,
this
down
Australian
goes the
streaker.
The quality of the audience right there.
Who came along and flashed his ass. It was glorious.
The Aussies
I
are here. Out
it.
Come the asses. Guaranteed. It's just like,
man,
it's Canada's like opening
in
the fucking
year.
Gates and letting all the animals in once you let the Aussies in. Filthy, disgusting
oh, no,
country. Get him out.
And then, and of course, the last winner was Portugal. I didn't watch it. I would never go out of my way to watch Eurovision. Like, I don't hate it, but I don't like it either. Like, I'm firmly ambivalent towards it, I think. Like, I just
right.
think whatever.
Sure, no, sure.
I mean, there's some notable winners here, like ABBA, Bucks Fizz, like I know
you've heard of them.
I couldn't tell you who Teddy Scholten is, though, from the Netherlands, with his winning song
legend.
In Beat Je. I don't know if I pronounced that right. That was in 1959, FYI. But there you go. Luxembourg has won a couple of times as well. French songs. Jean-Claude Pascal won in 1961 with the song Nous les amoureux, which means us the lovers.
Mm.
How did they do it? I don't know. It was hosted in Cannes. So maybe fucking, you know, it was already heavily swaying towards like a French winner and Luxembourg were just in the right place at the right time. I don't know.
I've got something to show you guys. Here, look at this. I've sent you this video. This is a video. The title of the video is Eurovision 1971, Manic Woman Freezes Mid-Applause.
Okay.
Now, just watch that video and tell me what you think.
She doesn't look that manic.
Eurovision 1971, Manic Woman Freezes Mid-Applause.
Why did she just freeze like that with that facial expression? That's so weird.
That is weird.
Oh, you know what, though? They probably had a big screen, and she probably saw herself on the screen and just like was like, oh, shit, I'm on the screen.
Fuck, I'm on
or
the
BS. Or did they have those back then, though? I don't know.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, it probably is that.
You know what always
what
makes me laugh?
Video.
That the old footage of like Michael Jackson concerts where like, and Beatles and Rolling Stones concerts where like all those girls in the crowd are like fainting and going crazy and crying and stuff. Imagine having that sort of effect on a person. That'd be fucking hilarious.
Goodness.
Holy shit. Hi, I'm Michael Jackson. With the ugly cry face and stuff. Fuck me. That'd be so funny.
It is like a kind of group insanity, isn't it? Like a kind of like madness, like Jesus Christ. So no, I love Eurovision, and I don't know whether it's there's a nice little thing. I mean, last year I think the Ukraine won it after the Russian sort of invasion or whatever. And this year, I think Russians were banned from entering because the woman, because it was in, hosted in Ukraine. Mm. I think the one the Russian entry had performed in Crimea or something. There was a bunch of controversy.
Right.
But I mean, it's supposed to be more kind of bringing together all of these European
nations.
Yeah,
well, good luck with that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Best of luck with that one.
I mean, I was amazed. Yeah. Brexit didn't seem to affect how the voting went. Like, we did about as well as we ever do.
You know, so it usually is very political, the voting, which is kind of,
I think,
weird.
Everyone was like scared that we'd, you know, no one, everyone would be angry with us in Europe, but actually people don't give a shit.
No, they've always,
like,
hated us. Brexit
chill.
Or no, we've never been popular. Like, why the fuck would the French ever vote for us? They would rather die, I'm pretty sure, than say England is the best. Like, they would hate that. So I don't think we need to worry about Brexit. They fucking hate us anyway. Bingo.
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't. So who cares? I don't care.
I just want to watch it. It's just a good crack.
Yeah, you don't care because you voted for Brexit, Lewis, you asshole. How could you?
There was a great, like, Romanian entry where they were yodeling. That was glorious.
I think the last one I remember was 2014, which was Rise Like a Phoenix. Remember that one? That's the last one I remember watching. So it's been a while. Heroes by Sweden, I don't remember. 1944 by the Ukraine last year, don't remember that one. And I did not watch this year's either, which was Amar Pelos Duas. By Portugal.
Yeah. It was like this Portuguese guy. It was good. It was you'd liked it. Maybe not. I don't know. It's all pop music.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. Yeah. I remember that year. There was a year where Andrew Lloyd Webber, remember? He was like, we have to win Eurovision. I'm going to make a song. We're going to just cheese it hard and we're going to win Eurovision. And they didn't win. And I haven't seen Andrew Lloyd Webber since. I think he fell into ill health and stuff. And like, because remember he was doing, remember he had those shows.
He went into a casino.
No, remember.
Hotel room.
Remember he had those shows where he was auditioning people to be like on in his musicals and stuff. And like that was going on for a while. But I think he got cancer or something and he was really sick.
Really?
And he just didn't do it anymore.
What?
Yeah.
He was just old as shit.
Well, he is
old. Like
a
fucking gremlin.
You know what he did? He did do one of his shows. He's gone to where is it? Broadway. Like, he's opened a show on Broadway for the first time. Like, that was like,
right.
I think he was just in, I don't think he died or was sick. I think he was just in America.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah.
I saw Phantom of the Opera in London, and that blew me away. I thought it was fucking great. Like, it was really, really good. Like, the songs and everything were really good. It's nice. I would highly recommend it if you're ever feeling that way inclined to watch a musical.
Do you know what Andrew Lloyd Webber looks like, by the way, if you look at his face? He looks like when Darth Vader at the end of Jedi, when Luke takes his helmet off.
Yes, he does.
That's what Andrew Lloyd Webber looks like.
It's the really saggy bits under the eyes that does it.
You were right about me, Luke.
Yeah.
You were right.
Yeah.
That's him. But you're wrong. Andrew Lloyd Webber actually is still consumed by the dark side.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a shame. You got this one. You are wrong, Luke. And it stabbed him through the heart with a lightsaber.
Do you want to be in one of my musicals, Luke?
It's called Go Fuck Yourself, Nerd.
It's going to be the West End sensation, Luke. You're going to do big things, boy.
Oh, shit. Guess what? There's a new expansion for your favorite game, Sips, Offworld Trading Company.
A new expansion.
Those filthy pirates.
Oh,
oh
God.
Shit.
Oh, no way. That's crazy. Yep. Fuck me. Yep. Man, PDXCon was great. I'm pretty excited about a lot of stuff that like we saw at PDXCon. It was really nice. It was a great con.
I think what was good is it's all games that will appeal like to us, right? Like they're all the kind of games that we play. Games that have a multiplayer aspect or they're single player, but they're kind of still strategy and buildy games and sandbox games. It's all my kind of shit.
Yeah. I wasn't super excited for the new Hearts of Iron expansion because I thought, a couple of nations getting focus trees and stuff, like it doesn't sound that great. But actually, I think the stuff that they put into it, what we played at PDXCon, was really good. Like, I'm really looking forward to it. I was actually kind of disappointed
to planes
that
is good.
It wasn't already out because I just wanted to come home and play it like as it was.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. I'm really looking forward to playing some of the new countries and stuff. It'll be nice.
I did a big post this morning, a big tweet longer about how I think they could fix Frontlines in Hearts of Iron 4. Okay.
Right.
So just to give you a brief rundown, I know that we don't normally talk about games, but just a very brief rundown. The problem I think is that you give the AI a frontline and it sees a frontline as a single thread that it needs to cover. And that's fine in terms of putting your troops on the front line. Like, I get that. But I said that one suggestion would be that you also assign reserve units to that frontline order.
Right.
And they'll sit behind the front line, like a province or two back, in strategic locations. And if there's a breakthrough in your front line and a province is taken, either way, those reserve units go to fill those gaps rather than pulling them from the front line.
You can kind of do that with fallback lines already, though.
They're not dynamic.
No, it's not dynamic. You'd have to assign half of your front line back to the fallback line.
But exactly. Or to have another unit there on the fallback line. But I think it would be good if it was a reactive.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, like a reactive reserve troops who were like, well, there's a hole in the front. We've got to plug it, bring out the reserve troops. And also those reserve troops, you would give them different, they would be made up differently. So they might be more mobile so they can get to fill the gaps more quickly. So they might be a little softer than your frontline units. They probably wouldn't have artillery. Yeah. And they might have more AA. Because the AA is good for the planes flying overhead. The AA in the reserve will shoot them down. I thought that was nice.
So I love your tweet, Longer. It starts off with, hey there, it's me, an idiot, right?
Yeah.
And then it finishes off with you saying, anyway, it's a though. You've missed the T off the word.
Yeah, I did.
Fraud.
No, I'm an idiot. I said at the start.
It's a though.
Yeah, it was
anyway, it's a though.
I'm not sure if I could take that tweet, Longer tweet seriously now that there's a spelling mistake.
Like, your TLDR was literally you read the first sentence and the last sentence and you cashed out.
I scanned it. listen up. I met some of the Paradox devs at ParadoxCon and said some of these things to them, and they were very crushed to hear anything that I criticized. They were like, oh, but we worked really hard and we were really happy with how that we managed to get that working at all. And I was like, oh my god,
sorry.
Well, it's terrible, you know. And they were like, well, we think at least it works. And we're like, well, but it's terrible. You know, it doesn't matter that it, but I think what they've done is they're so happy that it works at all because I think it took so long to even get it running that what we think is shit, they think is just, thank God it works. And so they're so happy with it at the moment that they're never going to improve it.
I mean, I don't think it's shit. I mean, it's just one of those things that it's like a thing in a game where it doesn't feel like a good representation. It feels like something that you, once you get the hang of it, you can work around it. And you know, like, oh, yeah, if you want to do that, here's a trick, you know? It's like one of those things in a game where there's like a trick to getting it to work the way you want. And obviously that's not what you want. What you want is to be able to tell the game to do something and it does it. And it's sort of clever and dynamic. I mean, I'm hoping that they can build that kind of stuff in.
Well, I'm sure that they can, though. I don't think that's like, I don't think that that's impossible for them to do.
No, absolutely
you
not.
You know, it's, and like all Paradox games, whether you like it or not, It the game will just get better over the years with the fixes and the DLC that comes out. Because the thing is, these games are so vast, they can't get it all in for release. Otherwise, the game would never be released. You know what I mean? They have to do it this way. And then and this, you know, the way that they sell DLCs means that their studio can keep working on the games as well. So it's...
Exactly.
It's a clever way
of doing it. It's like my dick.
It.
You can't accept it all at once. You have to take it in stages
or it'll tear you up.
It'll tear you up.
Yeah. It's exactly
like the dick. Well, yeah. I love that, yeah.
I've never experienced that myself. No. But yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I feel like we just sometimes don't realize. Then again, I have been playing the Kaiserreich mod.
What did you think?
Oh, right. I haven't tried that yet.
Which is the alternative. World War I was won by the Germans instead. Mm. And, you know, it sort of puts you in, throws you at the deep end in 1936 with a very different world map, but also a different world setup of the ideologies and things. And the first thing I struggled with was the political landscape, because they have nothing similar.
Mm.
It's all syndicalists, autocrats.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure what any of those things are. I'm not a political philosopher. I don't know.
Oh, well, see, I am, Lewis. So I think that sounds like the one mod for me. I think I'll feel right at home that one.
I think my only problem with it is that it pretty much just changes the starting conditions. So it's basically, if you're bored of the default Hearts of Iron setup that you have with the world as it was, you can try Kaiserreich and everything's different.
Everything is different.
Yeah. It is fun.
There's a lot of things that are different. There's some different gameplay mechanics. There's there's so many different focus trees. And, you know, it's huge effort's gone in.
There's
30 different focus trees and like thousands of events.
I'm not at the point, after hundreds of hours of playing that game, I'm still not quite at the point where I'm ready to play a mod like that. And
have you really played hundreds of hours?
It has been, yeah. It's crazy. Wow. Yeah. It's
incredible.
I still haven't played a game as the US because I thought they're going to be too big and overwhelming. I still haven't played a game as Japan. You know,
but you did one as the Nazis the other day, and
you said to
me,
"That's the first time I ever
fun.
Played as Germany, and it was really fun." And me and Lewis have been playing a game where I played as Italy, and that's been pretty fun as well. Actually,
stop. You guys have been playing Hearts of Iron without me,
dude. You were away for like a week. We wanted to play, so we played. We're doing good too. Fuck, we're doing really good. Like,
Let me just get something. Just get my keys here, because I'm fucking leaving.
Wow.
Oh, get my passport. I'm fucking out.
Oh shit.
Get my, where's my bag? Prague. Where's my bag?
Back to that. They got a Thai massage waiting.
Yeah, he's gonna go back. He's gonna go stream from the hotel now instead.
Streaming table.
I got a new podcast called the Casino Reality Podcast. The truth is that Sips and Lewis are
Teddy
assholes.
Teddy, baby, are you ever coming home?
No, baby. No. I'm streaming full time from the hotel now and gambling away our life savings.
Streaming
we
table.
We have new streaming table and a podcasting table. Anything you want.
We have podcasting table. Special table for you to store all your life savings on table, and then so you can gamble on gambling table.
We have deluxe table. We have gambling table. We have prostitute table.
We even have
whatever
just
you want.
Table. It's just a table. It's we call it table.
We
table.
Stack many tables on table. It's for tables.
You choose from many tables on this table.
Fucking hell.
Fuck me.
Holy shit. Is there a bodega or can we go today?
Well, apparently you just want to go. No, remember we got the kids' bodegas.
Oh, do we still have more kids' bodegas?
We got more.
Okay.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, we got a few.
And we got to trickle them out. It saves you a lot of effort writing a bodega because you've been away. You haven't had a chance to write bodega.
All right, you ready? This one's called The Pirate King.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay.
I will become the pirate king, Bodega yelled, jumping up and down.
Right.
Bodega, stop shaking the boat, Zico yelled from his position on the bottom of the boat. Sorry, Bodega said, laughing.
Why is he, laughing so much? He
I
must
don't
be
know.
Really excited.
Bodega had just gotten his first crew member after saving him from execution. He was planning to go to the Golden War Line, where he could get the treasure hidden by the previous pirate king. It was a very dangerous place to go and was life-threatening, but many people still went to get the treasure. Bodega had an advantage, though. As a child, he'd eaten a rubber fruit that gave him stretch powers.
Right.
But it wasn't enough, since there were 8 other people in the universe, all pirates that had other incredible powers.
Right.
All right, let's go to the pirate line so I can become Thai Pirate King, Bodega yelled. Zico was quiet for a moment, leaning against the side of the boat with his eyes shut. Then he slowly opened his eyes and turned toward Bodega. I already told you to stop shaking the boat. Besides, we don't even have a crew. If we go to try to get the treasure now, we would be killed. We need a crew first, and you're the captain, so get it together and decide on a plan already, Zico shouted, before leaning back again and shutting his eyes.
Hey, was there... was there any punctuation in that sentence at all?
No.
Okay.
I like you, Zico, Bodega said, and sat down with a thump. Zico grunted, and before he could yell again, Bodega said, sorry, sorry. Bodega sat and thought on a plan for hours before finally presenting a plan to Zico. This better be good, Zico said. I've decided. The plan is to get a crew, then go get the treasure. Zico sighed. I'm so gonna die with this guy. The end.
Right.
Yeah. That was a really good one.
Amazing.
I like the whole... Bodega becomes a pirate spin and seems really excited about it too. Like, I mean,
there's a lot of shouting in that one.
Yeah,
I'm not
lots
sure.
Of laughing
so,
and shouting. Yeah.
Okay, I've got a few comments on this. First one is that I wonder how many bodegas and also things that you or I am exposed to in real life that I don't recognize, because I recognize that this is a almost word for word plagiarism. Well, it's not word for word, obviously, but of the anime One Piece. Okay, it's like a pirate anime, whereas there's a kid who eats a rubber fruit wants to be the pirate king, right? So obviously this child in this school has watched this anime.
Ugh.
Now you two haven't
I
any
love
idea
how
about fey
you are with anime now. Like, you've really made it like a personal goal of yours to just know anime for some reason. Why have you done this?
He's on a fucking quest. Remember back in podcast episode fucking 3.
Join me on my fucking journey. Yeah,
I must learn some all. Before passing judgment on anime, I will cast mine eye upon its entire opus. I must know them all intimately. Signed, Lewis Brindley, weeaboo, anime-loving nerd.
Fuck me.
Episode 1.6, like, confrontation. The air was warm and dry, unlike Bodega's pants.
One?
Well, yeah, we got a little
that
time.
That one was like 2 seconds long. Fuck.
Yeah, unlike Bodega's pants. He was cold and wet because he peed cool urine.
Hang on a second. Start this one from
the
top.
You can't pee
Start
cool
this one
urine?
From the top.
That doesn't exist.
All right. Are you ready? This is weird. The air was warm and dry, unlike Bodega's pants. He was cold and wet because he peed cool, cool urine. He just walked in on his wife slash future wife with one of his fellow crew members who had asked to have the day off. Now cool, non-sticky pee was running down his right leg. Drip, 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 it was now dripping onto the floor. They were eating space peanut butter, Bodega's one weakness, it was like his kryptonite. The fellow pirate named Kurt Beltpants shoved the peanut butter jar of Space Skippy in Bodega's face. Bodega immediately burst into flames. Majesta, his wife, realized what the Kurt Beltpants had done, quickly got some space coffee and poured it onto the flaming body of Bodega. Very relieved he was not dead.
This is
Bodega graciously kissed his wife. The other pirate, however, was not a happy camper. He took a torch and lit Bodega on fire again. Bodega thinking, why haven't I fireproofed my armor yet? But luckily again, his pee cooled him down, so again he didn't die. His wife, now furious, picked up the torch and lit Kurt Beltpants on fire. He died. Majesta leaned in to kiss Bodega, but he stabbed her with his space knife. Bodega knew how to hold a grudge. Jesus Christ.
Why are these kids so obsessed with adultery? Like, every single story.
With adultery and
one second he's kissing her, the next session he's like some sort of stone-cold sociopath just stabbing her through the heart.
Man, Kurt Beltpants. Holy shit. Like, well, he died straight away. Like, I can't believe it. He had so much more to give, I think. A bit of elaboration on his character, maybe a bit of development and stuff, but no, just lit on fire and he's dead. That was some Game of Thrones right there. Like, just when you get attached to somebody, they die.
The cold pee, nuts.
Man.
Do you want one more and then we're donezo?
Yeah, sure.
Oh my god, right.
This one's called this is quite a long one actually.
Lewis has got anime to get to.
It's just large font. All right, are you ready? It's called Bodega. The crash. Bodega! She screamed as the severed part of the spacecraft got caught in the gravity of the nearby planet. Majesta! He shouted back. The severed spacecraft suddenly burst into flame as it was pulled closer to the foreign planet. He only remembered the cries that were silenced by the endless void of space. Earth! This is what they call their planet. On the charts, it was only known as Sol 3, Bodega thought. Bodega groaned. He'd never had a space raid go so wrong. What had happened? He thought. All he knew was that he had to build a ship to get back to Cassandra, his girlfriend. He climbed out of the broken ship, blinded by the sun, and started to dig through the parts. He knew he would have to visit a store nearby. He searched the ship again and found a credit card. He then ventured out to find a store that would provide for his needs. All right, first thing, I don't think Bodega's credit card would be accepted by any major retailer on Earth, because he hasn't been there before. But anyway, he reached a little town and went into one of the stores. The owner was Hispanic, and he guided Bodega to the section that he wanted. He picked out many machines to help him with the spaceship. Bodega ended up buying the whole store. He was not considerate of the person who owned the credit card. Oh, I see. This is why some Hispanic stores are called bodegas. Oh, it's like an origin story.
Oh my god.
He used the building as the base of the ship and then attached all of the machines inside to create a fantastic spaceship.
Wow.
It was time to take off. It was nearly night, but Bodega knew he had to take off now. Bodega pressed the launch button and the store building ripped from the ground and broke through the Earth's atmosphere. When he landed at his home, he found no one there. He only found a note from his girlfriend, Majesta. The note said the following. Dear Bodega, and this is in a different font, by the way, which I like. If you were still out there, I apologize for remarrying. Again with the remarrying! What is with this? Me and George had a child. We named him after you, Bodega. I hope you're alive, and if you are, then please accept my apology. I miss you greatly, Majesta. Bodega felt a tear slowly trickle down his face. At least he'd survived this fatal crash, and who knows? Maybe he could find love elsewhere. God, Bodega can't catch a break. If Majesta isn't cheating on someone with a fucking moon buggy, she's cheating on him with another guy and then saving him and then he's killing her.
That moon buggy thing was hilarious.
That was the funniest fucking thing.
Holy shit.
I mean, that was the funniest. It feels like that one was written by someone's parents. You know, sometimes these parents are like, what's your homework? Let me see it. I want to help out. And I have to write a thing about a bodega. What do you mean a bodega? What, a local Hispanic convenience store? Do you know what I mean? It feels like someone got a bit of help here. I'm smelling a rat. just some of the things that were going on in that are a little bit too suspicious. The Hispanic man helped show Bodega the parts he needed, and he bought the whole store.
What do you say? You implying that Bodega owners have worked their way into this in some way to kind of get free advertising via this? Is that what you're implying? Like Bodega operators have clubbed together? Guys, we have to use this opportunity to raise the profile of bodegas by subtly
adding bodegas into the bodegas.
Finally, somebody is giving us exposure that we desperately need.
Have you sold out, P-Flex?
Have I sold out to the bodega magnates?
To the local
bodega. Is this undisclosed sponsored content?
It is not.
Okay.
I want to state that for the record and for legal reasons, I have not been sponsored by bodegas.
And in fact, we haven't been sponsored by anything. Yeah. So if you want to support the Trifles podcast.
If you want to sponsor us, it doesn't matter what you do. If it's you porn, we'll make a team.
I'll do you porn. Yeah,
I'll
sure.
do you porn. I don't mind. Like, I'm up for anything at this point.
We were talking about this in Sweden, and we were talking about the fact that they have people have like Patreons for their podcasts and shit.
Yeah.
And I know we were talking about it, weren't we? I don't know. It's something. A lot of people say that they want to support the podcast, and I get
we're
that.
Not going to do a Patreon.
There you go. The boss man has put his foot down.
We will never do a Patreon.
No Patreon, but we will be sponsored by Gillette, the best a man can get.
I don't shave. Fuck you, Gillette. I don't want your shit.
I don't shave now, but I would shave if they sponsored us, for sure.
No, fuck you, Gillette. Assholes.
I don't like Gillette.
The best a man can get.
So,
sponsored by Gillette.
The best way to sponsor the Profiles podcast is to buy a t-shirt, a bodega t-shirt.
Oh, come on. That is not the way. Send me cash money in the mail. That's the best
money.
Way to do it.
What, cold hard cash?
Bitcoin's accepted.
No. Right. No Bitcoins.
Oh, come on. They're worth like a bit. You've got one. It's worth like $1,000.
It's like, no Bitcoins, please. I want actual
real money. How many Bitcoins
you
got, P-Flex?
I don't want to talk about
it. You got one Bitcoin?
I have a fucking Bitcoin, yes.
Yeah, he's
a fan sent it to me.
He's not happy about it, allegedly.
How do you access it?
Exactly! Just money, please.
What? Can you
the
sell
that? The shop takes money.
Why don't you just sell it if you don't like it?
Just give me the fucking money.
He doesn't know how.
Give me the money.
He's an old man.
It's just a confusing thing I have that's a bunch of numbers and letters. I just give me the... I don't want the fucking comments to be filled with Bitcoin nerds telling me how great Bitcoins are. I tell you what, zip it, all right? Get the money, put it in the envelope, send it. Give us the cash.
Yeah.
Jesus.
All right. Oh my God.
Thanks, everyone.
On that note, see you later.
See you next time.
Bye. See you next week. Bye.